Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Father, we praise you this morning, Lord God, as we come before you, Lord God. Our worship is to you. And Lord God, we do it for the right reasons. It's because of who you are and the greatness of who you are. But Lord, in return, you grant us blessings. You grant us provision. You grant us protection. Help us to be obedient that we may benefit from those very blessings, Lord. Jesus, you are the greatest blessing. The one who came and lived and died. And by your blood, we are redeemed, offering us forgiveness. And with that, the ultimate blessing of eternal life with you. The resurrection, death overcome by life. And the benefit and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what a plan you have for each one of us. What a plan you have for each one of us. As they were practicing this morning, the presence of the Holy Spirit during that song was amazing. There was a lot of opposition going on here this morning. And once that song came in, it broke that opposition and the Holy Spirit just swept through here. And God was speaking to me about lineage. Right? This song is very much a song about lineage. It's passing our obedience down to generations. And I come from great lineage on my mom's side. My grandpa's grandpa from Ireland brought his faith to this continent. And that lineage has passed on to me, and I'm so grateful for that lineage. And some of you might be sitting in here today saying, I didn't have that. I'm the first in my family line to come to Christ. I would say, keep going. Establish that lineage. Establish that lineage for those that come behind you. It's a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. And how do we establish that lineage? It's the standard that we choose to live within our life. We live in a society today, a country where Christians have been pushed aside, and now Christians think they have to come and fight against the standard, but that's not God's way. God's way is that His people set the standard. And by setting that standard, we're setting a lineage, right? For 1,000 generations, letting that blessing come down. No, I can't obtain someone's salvation for someone else but me. It's only me that I can come to Jesus and say, forgive my sins. But there's a lineage, there's a blessing that comes through my line. It's my character, right? That's part of it. It's the standards that I live by. That's part of it. But I think the Holy Spirit honors that. If you're in here this morning and you have a prodigal in your life, continue to pray for them, because by God's standard, the lineage is there. Amen? What an exciting time to be a Christian. In that second song about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's a line in there that I had never seen before. And it says this, the darkness bows to him. The darkness bows to him. We always talk about the darkness flees from the light. In a dark room, one candle can light up that entire room. But this is a whole new ball game when we think the darkness bows to Jesus Christ. Oh, how exciting is that? How exciting, Father, Lord, so exciting to be a follower of you. So exciting that we can gather together this Sunday morning and worship you together in community, in spirit, in truth, and in boldness. Lord, thank you so much that your plan just includes all these great and wonderful things. Today, Jesus, today is all about you. So is tomorrow, so is Tuesday, so is every day of the year. But this morning we are verbalizing and saying, Jesus, it's all about you. We lift you high. We pray this in your name. And everyone shout it out. Amen. You guys can be seated. You know what? Kids, I'm going to dismiss you kids. I am so raring to go. Sometimes I just get to the point where it's like, I got to get into this message. I'm so excited. So kids, I'm just going to dismiss you now quietly. Quietly get out of here or be loud. Either way, stomp your feet, be good. For the adults in here, let's run through messages relatively quick. We've got several things coming up that we just need to get out there. Number one is the corn maze. Corn maze will be next Saturday, the 15th. It's in your bulletin, where to meet, what time to meet. The one thing I need to say is there's a sign-up on the table under the TV in the foyer. You can also sign up online, but I think we need 30 people to get the discount, right? Tamara, somebody, 30 people. We need 30 people to get the discount. So let's just sign up. Make sure we got 30. If we have more, great. But we need at least 30. And then on October 22nd, that's the next Saturday, we have Highway Cleanup, 8:30. Just meet here at the church. You get your fancy vest, you get your bag, and then we divvy up spots, and it takes like 45 minutes probably to clean our, I think we have 2 miles, so that's pretty good. More people, the quicker it is. That's on the 22nd. And then, of course, on the 31st, we have our Trunk or Treat. Trunk or Treat 4 to 7. There is a sign-up also on the table back there if you want to have a trunk, a full-out trunk. If you just want to help, please sign up. How many people sign up will help us to determine how much we're going to advertise, right? I don't want to advertise on Facebook that we're doing this great trunk or treat and have like 3 trunks out there. We don't want to do that. So just work with me here. If you've never done it before, it's a great thing. If you have, do it. If you've done it a couple years and you have extra trunk ideas, we'll just throw that out there so maybe somebody can use that older idea. And then I'm telling you, we're running through these. And then on November 6th is the closing of the 40 Days for Life. This past Wednesday was our day to pray, and I've heard people talking about it and the impression that the Holy Spirit put on people's hearts. It was a great time to pray. It's a tragic thing what is going on there. But we can stand against that through our prayer. So the closing ceremony is here at Bridge. We got to try it again. The closing ceremony is here at Bridge. Yes! Yes. So it's at November 6th, 6 p.m. Come here. There'll be a couple speakers. Like I said, it's in the bulletin. And then after the closing ceremony here, we'll go down to Planned Parenthood and pray some more and sing and just do all that crazy Christian stuff. But it's important, right? If you believe that prayer changes things, plan to be here November 6th, 6 p.m. And then a couple more quick announcements that I don't have slides for. Rhonda Bird, she is moving. Boo. But she's needing help. She's going to be by family in Louisiana. Boy, it'd take God to say, you need to go to Louisiana for me to obey that one. Humidity, bugs, hurricane, you know, just to name a few. But they do have Cajun food. So Rhonda will be loading her U-Haul Monday, October 7th at 9:17. That's what I said, Tamara. You just weren't listening. The 17th. I feel like I'm at home. So we as a church, if we could come out and just help her, again, the more people, the quicker. She needs to know, though, so either tell Tamara or text Rhonda. If there's not enough people to help, she's going to have to hire people to help, and we don't want that to have to happen, do we? No, we don't. So let's come out, if you can, on a Monday, 17th, 9 a.m., RSVP to her. And then one, I got two last things, but I got to say this last thing. Somebody's birthday is today. Everybody know it's Danielle's birthday is today. So I don't want her leaving today. Everybody give her a hug. Happy birthday. All of those things. I wasn't going to say this, and this is my humor and everything. But Stephen and I were having coffee Thursday, and we were talking, and he's like, hey, it's Danny's birthday. And I said, oh, I got to say something. And he's like, yeah, dude. And I said, Stephen, here's the deal. Our church really, really likes you, but they love Danny. And he laughed, and you know what? He didn't disagree. Now, we love both of them, but Danny's something special to us. So is that whole family. So wish him happy birthday. Do something, whatever. And then the very last thing I want to ask of you guys is we got an email, and then I had a lady stop by the church on Thursday. It's one of our neighbors around here. And she's kind of the head of a neighborhood organization all around these houses. She said there's like 100 different households involved in this little organization. And what they do is they want to have a voice in further development in this area, all of those things. And she said, you know, no, most of the people have not met each other. They haven't met each other. They've just all emails and that kind of stuff. She said, I want to have a day where we can just all come together and just meet each other. Is there any way we could use your church? And I said, absolutely not, because this is sacred ground. I mean, it's the building. You could, no, I said, for sure, whatever you need. And it's like, Amy was like, do we just give them a key and this and that? I'm like, no, let's not give them a key, but let's be here. Some of these people have never, they don't know anything about us as a church. And a lot of them don't know anything about a church, right? This might be the first or second or third time they've ever been into a church that's not for a wedding or a funeral. So in my mind, let's have coffee for them, and let's have a bunch of homemade cookies for them. So that, the what? Crumbles, hey, all sorts of good stuff. So that is actually next Sunday, the 16th. They're going to be here at 3 p.m. So if you would come next Sunday morning with a plate of mostly non-eaten cookies, I mean, if you need one on the drive-in, that's fine. So, but let's just, I want them to walk into this church. We're going to be here. If anybody just wants to come and help just a little bit, I don't want to like totally swarm people, but I want them walking into this church going, wow, that's a friendly church. They didn't have to provide coffee and cookies and hot tea and all of those things. We can do that, can't we? So what I'm asking for you guys to do is just bring some cookies next Sunday for that reason. And if you feel like, hey, I'd like to be here and just welcome people and introduce ourselves, I brag about this church. I brag about you guys and how friendly you are. If you're newer here, you probably kind of get that, right? Hey, I never tried Bridge, but as soon as I walked in, the people were friendly. People tell me you are the friendliest church in all of Helena, and I'll take it. We may not be the biggest, we may not be the fanciest, but man, if we can be the friendliest, I'm all over that. So that's next Sunday. We got a lot of little things coming up. So Saturday, go get lost in the corn maze. Sunday, bring some cookies. Monday, let's help Rhonda load up, and then we can just keep going on from there. Amen? Giving. Jakes, yes. Tomorrow at Shelley's Ladies Luncheon. All right, you guys can swap cookie recipes. So you can bring those cookies. All right, giving. You know, we got four ways to give. And before worship started, Jen and I were talking about this lineage thing, right? This establishment. She said, but think about it. When we come to Jesus, we're adopted in. We're grafted in. So we go all the way back to Abraham's blessing and things like that. And then she said, yeah, but it's also like giving is an obedient step in that lineage as well. And giving, giving brings blessing. And no, we're not saying give to get. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying part of that obedience in your finances brings blessing into your life. If you've never tried it, try it. If you've not been faithful in it, be faithful in it. If you're retired, if you're working, if you own a business, whatever it is, dedicate that to God and see the blessings that you gain in return. Amen. There's four ways to give online. You can text it. You can do the giving boxes. You can mail it. You can do all those things. Let us not stand in the way, in any way, Lord, of allowing your people to worship you however the Holy Spirit directs. All right, let's get rolling. Man, I'm excited. I think we got all of that out of there. Oh, right here. Miriam, yes, lots of prayer for Miriam this week. There's been praise reports in here as well, but we thank you as a body. They just wanted to thank you as a body to come together and pray. And that's another thing that we do really, really well. We're a praying church. So let's keep that going. When you get those prayer requests, just do it right then. That's the easiest way. Don't put it off. Just pray right then. If you're not on the prayer thing, chain, email, whatever, talk to Georgie. She'll get you on there. Just emails, they come out. There's prayer and praise. And you can also, if you need prayer, you can do it through the app. It's very easy to do it through the app. All right, let's get started. Father, thank you once again that we are here this morning. And Lord God, I know you prompted in my spirit this morning that there was a lot of people that were iffy on coming to church this morning. And Lord God, I have an anticipation with that you're going to speak something to us that we really need to hear. So Lord, those that gave in to that temptation to skip church, Lord, help them to catch it online, to be reminded of the importance of church. We thank you for those that are here this morning. And Lord God, open up our hearts, open up our ears, and open up our minds so that we don't go brain dead, but we grab all of this stuff, we roll it up in a giant ball, and we just let the Holy Spirit use it however he needs to use it within our life. Lord, Holy Spirit, let me speak only what you have for me to speak. If it's not of you, shut my mouth. And again, I pray, don't let anybody leave this building the same way that they came in. Lord God, you are an instrument of change. You are the chief of change. So convict us, confirm in us, do whatever you want. We give it to you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everybody shout it out. All right, let's get rolling this morning. This morning, we are continuing with our series, It's Time to Acts. And really, this whole series, we've been looking at the early church and the important principles that they were applying. Right, we're seeing what they were doing, but we're also understanding that for them, it was incredibly important that they apply those things, right? It was a, hey, here it is, if we don't do these things, man, this early church movement, boy, it could fail, so we just got to follow Jesus, we got to listen to him. Of course, one of the reasons for this series is to not only learn why the early church was so effective at spreading the gospel message. But this series is really intended to get us thinking, us right now thinking about these principles and thinking if they still apply to us or have benefit to us. What do you guys think? What we've been over so far, do any of those apply to you and do any of those have benefit to you? No? Or yes, a little bit? Kind of some, maybe not all. I think all. See, if we see these benefits, then we must position ourselves for change, right? Oh, yeah, I think that would probably be beneficial in my life or in our church. Then we got to position ourselves for change. Positioning ourselves for change isn't always that much fun. It's not easy. It takes time. It takes commitment. And then we have to say, hey, I'm going to push forward because I want application of those principles within my life, right? So we understand them, we say we need them, we position ourselves, but then we pursue those in application. And that's what that's why we have a list of the expectations. There's a quick reminder. I'm not going to go through them. We've been putting them up every week. If you've been gone or you're visiting today, or if you're new here, these are the expectations that we laid out before this series. Grab a quick picture, write them down, whatever. Now, it is important to keep these expectations as well as these principles that we've been over so far in front of us for multiple reasons. One of those important reasons, though, is that they build on each other, right? These principles. The book of Acts, just the essence of it, how it starts out as you continue to go through the book of Acts, we see layer upon layer upon layer. They just continue to build on each other. Now, here's where we've been so far with our principles. Principle number one, where we got started. Gathering together pushes and propels kingdom movement. Principle number two, the body must devote itself to the essentials of faith. Principle number three, the church is equipped to operate in boldness, courage, and power. I want you to especially remember principle number three today. Principle number four, the standard of holiness must be upheld. Principle number five, extend impartial and unbiased compassion to all, no matter how hard that may be. That brings us to today. Today we come to a principle that really brings us really face to face with our faith and our overall outlook as a person. I'm going to say the outlook as a person. Because today we're going to have the opportunity to either affirm our confident belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or we're going to have an opportunity to take a pass and remain affiliated in the logic and standards of this world. What we won't have an opportunity to do today is to do nothing. We won't have an opportunity to leave today and claim ignorance, because exposure to principle number six will require you to make a decision as to how you view and live out your faith. You excited now? You excited now? Some maybe a little nervous. What's going on? What's this whole principle number six? I'm going to bring it, Mike. I'm going to. See, this principle is of extreme importance simply because of the day and time we're living in. And what we need to do this morning is be really careful, because what I'm speaking about this morning, I'm using the context of the United States of America and even Montana and even Helena, Montana. Because the things that we're seeing outside of the United States of America have been very different. What I believe is we're catching up to the rest of the world in this. So let's look at principle number six, and then we're going to look at the text from the book of Acts. Principle number six, faith worth believing in is faith worth standing for. Be careful what you say already. You say amen, but we're going to dig into this. We're going to dig into this, and it's a great thing. That's a faith worth believing in is a faith worth standing for. It's a, where are we going to go with this? Yes, of course, in general, but specifically in my life, how might that look? Now, I will say this. This is not a principle for the weak-hearted, but rather this is a principle for the steadfast Christ follower. And my goal today is not to condescend. It's not to condemn anyone here, but rather to simply present you with this reality that following Jesus Christ is costly. When you make that decision, it is going to cost you a lot. Not only when you make the decision to initially come to Jesus, but when you make the decision every single day of your life to continue to worship and follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it costs a whole lot. So let's look at some text here. Because of time, we will not go through the entire passage, but I would encourage you to go back and read that as a whole on your own. So if you're taking notes, write this down. The entire text, kind of, we're going to bookend it, but the entire text would be Acts chapter 6, verse 8, through Acts chapter 7, verse 60. So let's start out with Acts chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. It says this: "Now Stephen, full of grace, divine blessing and favor and power, was doing great wonders and signs, attesting miracles among the people. However, some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, freed Jewish slaves, both Cyrenes and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and the province of Asia, rose up and questioned and argued with Stephen." Isn't this interesting that their name, what they described themselves as, was the freedmen? They were free, right? They were once slaves, but now they were free in an earthly social standard. But as we're going to find out, they were anything but free spiritually. Now, if you were here last week, you know that we were introduced to Stephen. And remember, he was one of the men that was selected to help the leadership, especially in the facilitation of the early church's responsibility. So it's like, hey, Stephen, here's what we want you to do. There's people being overlooked. There's some widows being overlooked. We need you to make sure that they're getting food and things like that. And he could have simply said, oh, administration, organization, I'm really good at that. The faith thing, the witnessing thing, that's just not my strong suit, but man, I can pass out food. He could have said that, right? But he didn't, because he saw the full meal deal. He said, oh, if that's what you have for me to do now, I'll do it. But there's such a bigger thing going on here. Now, Stephen was described like this. He was a man full of faith in Christ Jesus and filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. That is a description of Stephen. That's a description of his character. And now in verse 8, we see the application and the expression of that character. Who was Stephen? Stephen was a man full of faith in Jesus Christ and filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. How did that look? Full of grace, divine blessing and favor and power. Stephen was doing great wonders and signs, attesting miracles among the people. So we have a devout follower of Christ. And with Stephen, he was a devout follower of Christ, not only in his personal faith behind closed doors, but one who is actually living out the faith in a public and expressive way. And now Stephen is going to come face to face with principle number 6. Let's look at verses 10 through 12. "But they were not able to successfully withstand and cope with the wisdom and the intelligence and the power and the inspiration of the Spirit by whom he was speaking. Then to attack him another way, they secretly instructed men to say, 'We have heard this man, Stephen, speak blasphemous, slanderous, sacrilegious, abusive words against Moses,'" oh, "and then also against God. And they provoked and incited the people as well as the elders and the scribes, and they came up to Stephen and seized him and brought him before the council, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court." You see what's going on here? Stephen was speaking. He was speaking by the empowerment, by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, and it made these people mad. It's like, man, we're trying to debate him, but he's always 5 steps ahead of us. Well, of course he's 5 steps ahead of you, because the Holy Spirit is always a mile ahead of you. See, when I read this, I can get caught up and think, oh man, they really had it in for Stephen, didn't they? But in reality, these men didn't have a problem with Stephen. Listen closely, because this is critical here. Stephen was not the issue here The problem here is what Stephen believed and what he is being verbal about. You guys understand that there's a difference. This conflict that is going on right here all comes down to the person of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this. Nothing has changed at all. But don't overlook the sum total of this situation. This is true about Stephen, and it holds true to every born-again believer. Look at this. Flip that slide. The world and those around you do not care if you are a fervent and passionate believer in Jesus Christ. I am going to stand on that statement. The world doesn't care. The people around you, they don't care. The people you work with, they don't care if you are a fervent and passionate believer in Jesus Christ. What the world hates, flip that slide again. What the world hates, what infuriates the world, what they cannot stand is a fervent and passionate believer in Jesus Christ who unashamedly walks and professes the truth in a public way, both through their words and their actions. You can take that one to the bank. It's not what you believe in your house. It's not what we do in this little church that only other believers come to. The world could care less. They could care less. The problem is when we get vocal about it. The problem is when we say, no, we're not going to fight against your standard because Jesus Christ sets the standard. The world doesn't care if we do a 24-hour prayer here. They don't care. But I'll tell you what, when we're walking around Planned Parenthood praying, the world has issue with that. When we begin to share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the world takes issue with that. When we share our testimony, for goodness sakes, they just need to shut up about their testimonies because that infuriates them. And this is why principle number 6 has to be a principle you come face to face with and reconcile within your own lives. You got to figure it out. Faith worth believing is faith worth standing for. Within all of this, I think there are some why questions that arise that we need to answer here. And the best part about all these why questions is that the answer is found directly in Scripture. So that first why question probably needs to be, why does the world hate the followers of Jesus Christ? And Jesus tells us straight up here, John 15, 18 and 19, the world hates you. Oh, there's the answer leading right into it. The world hates you, and it does. If the world hates you, and it does, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own and would treat you with affection. But you are not of the world. You no longer belong to it. You are at a different standard than the world. But I have chosen you out of the world, and because of this, the world hates you. It's costly. Isn't it? It's costly to be a follower of Jesus. When we come under his shepherding, when we become born again, the world will automatically hate you by default. It's because the world hates him and anything that he is associated with. So the next question is obviously, why does the world hate Jesus Christ? Let's look at John 3, 19 and 20. This is the judgment, that is the cause for indictment, the test by which people are judged, the basis for the sentence. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For every wrongdoer hates the light and does not come to the light, but shrinks from it, bows down to it, for fear that his sinful worthlessness activities will be exposed and condemned. It's a pretty good reason to hate Jesus, isn't it? Think back before you were a born-again believer, follower of Christ. Man, people would publicly speak about their faith. People would share their testimony, and it would make you boil. Oh, I want to argue. That's why we can't have any conversations, holidays, Thanksgiving. Leave the politics and the religion out of that. Okay, I'll totally leave the politics and the religion out of that. I don't buy into politics or religion. But how about we talk about Jesus Christ? Oh, that makes them mad. We can talk about religious all day long. They're not going to get that mad. You bring up the name. Just the name of Jesus Christ. We can talk about Buddha. That's okay. We can talk about Muhammad. That's okay. We can talk about all these people. That's okay. We bring the name of Jesus Christ into the conversation. Ooh, they start tensing up and they start turning red because they seethe with anger because Jesus Christ brings the conviction that they're in the wrong. It brings conviction about the sin that they're wrapped up in. And you know what it does? It bubbles up inside of them the knowledge that they are death. They are death. And sometimes the life, our flesh fights against that. So then it comes to another question, right? Another why question. So why, as a Christian, must we choose to draw a line and stand upon our faith in Jesus Christ? Why do we need to do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. We find that in Matthew 10, 33 through 36. But the one who denies and rejects me before men, that one I will also deny and reject before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword of division between belief and unbelief. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household when one believes and another does not. There is inherently always conflict between life and death, between light and darkness, between Jesus Christ and Satan. There's always going to be conflict. And here Jesus says, hey, expect that, but you better make your choice. You better rationalize this thing that you call your faith. Maybe you profess your faith within yourself. Maybe you profess your faith within the church body. That's pretty safe. But Jesus is saying, man, you want to deny me and you want to reject me before men, before people outside the church? You want to do those things? Well, if you're going to reject me, then out of his righteousness, his honesty, his character, his love, and his truthfulness, if you're rejecting Jesus, how can he not deny you or reject you before his Father? He's just simply saying, out of love, you're rejecting me, so I can't present you to my Father. I can't do it. He can't do those things because he's righteous, right? So there's the reason to that, why we need to choose to profess our faith. And this isn't a threat. Don't take this as a threat. This is just a reality. Jesus is stating facts here. This is what's going on in the world. This is what you're going to see. So make the correct decision. And then that brings us to the next why question. Why can we have confidence in standing for Jesus Christ in this world? Why can we have that confidence? And that we find in 1 Corinthians 15, 13 through 17. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. It's useless. It's amounting to nothing. And your faith is also vain imagery, unfounded, devoid of value and benefit, not based on truth. We are even discovered to be false witnesses, misrepresenting God because we testify concerning him that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and powerless, mere delusion. You are still in your sins and under the control and penalty of sin. There's a lot going on there. See, the resurrection paves the way to an eternal life with God. Right? And Paul's coming out this saying, well, hey, if none of this is true. And I read that and I think, well, gosh, Paul, if none of that is true, how do we continue to have this Christian movement 2,000 years later? Pretty odd, right? If we're all found out to be liars, why are you even here? Huh? Preaching in vain, right? Lying, amounting to nothing. I hope you leave here this morning and not like, well, yeah, pastor just wasn't gone. He wasn't on today. That amounted to nothing. But every time we preach the word, we preach truth. And every time we preach truth, we gain wisdom and understanding. And within that wisdom and understanding, we realize that though Jesus died on the cross for our sins, which had to be done, the atonement, 3 days later, he didn't stay dead. There is a resurrection. Any Christian that denies the resurrection, you got to step back. And that's what Paul's talking about. The world loves to say these things about churchgoers and Christians. Oh, they have their little fables. They have their little things. Well, we also have what's called the Holy Spirit. And we come together on a Sunday morning, and boy, this morning the Holy Spirit was a-moving. So the resurrection paves the way to an eternal life with God. What we have to understand, and C.S. Lewis would put it so great, is that all of us, everybody in the world, everybody who has ever been in the world is an immortal being, right? So everyone is going to spend eternity somewhere. The notion that you'll simply cease to exist, that's nonsense. For the born-again believer, the promise of the resurrection not only guarantees where the believer will spend eternity, but it also grants us a clear perspective of this temporary world that we live in right now. It's temporary. It's passing away. It's just a brief stop. It's kind of like in eternity, we're at the rest stop. You want to get back on the road because it's where you want to be, but you got to stop at the rest stop. This time that we're living, we put so much value and importance on the time that we're living right now and forget about the resurrection and eternity. See, when we take this, we get that better perspective. Death itself cannot separate us from Jesus. So when it comes to my faith, standing for my faith, what more confidence do I need? Look at Romans 8, 38 and 39. What an incredible passage this is. For I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone shouted out, my goodness, this is so good. We read this and we think, why am I not standing up bold in my faith? Why am I trying to hide it? Why am I afraid of what people might say to me or how they might look at me? Because it's all about the love of Jesus Christ. It's about our Savior. It's about the promise of the resurrection. Pretty powerful stuff here, I would say. But then that brings us to our last why question. And here's where it gets personal. It's simply this. Why do I fear? Personal question that each one of us must face. And each one of us can have different reasons that cause us to fear. We all have different reasons. It's personality, it's past experiences, it's insecurities. But they can all be traced back to to one point in time, and that's the sin separation problem. See, the fall of Adam and Eve introduced fear. That's where did fear come from? Well, it wasn't there before they disobeyed, and there was a whole lot of fear after. And with that fear came doubt. And even the strongest Christians will come up against the enemy of fear and doubt in their life from time to time. It doesn't matter how saintly you are. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how anointed you are. Biblically speaking, we see person after person after person come up against fear and doubt. And if you think it happened to them, but it's not going to happen to you, you're wrong. We can think, maybe it was this morning. You had a little fear and doubt. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was last week. Time to time, we're going to come up against it. It's how we meet that fear and doubt that matters. See, fear and doubt can manifest themselves in different ways. Fear and doubt can manifest itself as anxiety. Wouldn't you say anxiety is very much tied to fear and doubt? Insecurities, anger. Fear and doubt produces anger. And it even produces hate. Where does hate come from? Well, hate comes from fear and doubt. These are all the antagonist of principle number 6. And yet again, Scripture opens us to the truth. It conveys that truth to us. Look at John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world, you have tribulation and distress. Not might. In the world, you have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory abiding. Woo! I bet Jesus wears that shirt whenever Satan's around. My victory abiding. Pretty awesome stuff right there. Those are confidence building, right? When fear comes into your life, when doubt comes into your life, you need to go to verses like John 16:33. You need to reread those verses. How about John 14:27? Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. What challenges? Every challenge, every time we see a challenge with our man, challenge comes, change comes. We usually automatically meet that with fear and doubt. Well, why are we changing? Well, why do we need that? Well, what if it doesn't look the way I want it to? Well, what if it makes me feel awkward? Things that we just automatically meet everything with fear and doubt. But then John 14:27 comes in. How many of you need a little peace in your life? Perfect peace. How many of you would say the world has everything but peace? Fear, doubt, insecurities, chaos. It's utter chaos out there. The opposite of that is peace. Not only peace, but perfect peace. Where does this perfect peace come from? Where can I find it? Where can I buy it? Is it a program? Did I step through 12 sessions and then I can? No. That perfect peace is the gift of Jesus Christ. Be a follower of me. I'm going to do all these different things for you. Number one, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to present you to my Father. I'm going to give you everlasting life. I'm going to bless you in your obedience. Oh, you think that's a lot? I'm also going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you my peace. You don't feel peace right now? Draw closer to Jesus. You don't feel peace right now? Study, recite, write it on your walls. John 14:27. And then, of course, let's look at Hebrews 13:6. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently say, The Lord is my helper in times of need. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Seriously, what will man do to me? When we have an eternal perspective, when we have a resurrection perspective, when we have an understanding that what we are seeing right now is temporary, but there's an eternity, and within that eternity, it's an eternity with Jesus Christ. What can this world do to me? Can it make me suffer? Yeah, it can make me suffer. But I can get peace because Jesus left peace with me. Can it persecute me? Oh, yeah, it can persecute me. But in my persecution, the Holy Spirit makes me stronger and more bold. Can the world kill me? Can man kill me? The sooner the better. Because then I'm done with this temporary. And then I have eternity. Nothing separates us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That's the confidence and the boldness that the early church walked in. And that's the exact same confidence and boldness that's available to us. Far too few of Christians come to this understanding. Now, I'm not saying go be careless. Don't go pick fights and say, what's the worst you can do to me? Go ahead. I mean, we're wise about that. We're not dumb about that. But we walk through life with an understanding. What's the worst? What's the worst? What is the worst? Because the worst by your standards is the glorious best by His standards. So what can man do to me? Stephen, a man full of faith in Christ Jesus and filled with and led by the Holy Spirit, chose, made a decision, came to that point in his life of revelation to place not only his trust in Jesus, not only his faith in Jesus, but also his very life. And I'm talking eternal life as well, within the hands of Christ. And he resolved within himself that a faith worth believing is a faith worth standing for. Stephen not only believed in his heart, but he also lived it out within his actions, within his words. We see that he lived out what we read about in 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4 says this, little children, believers, dear ones, you are of God and you belong to him and have already overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist. Because he who is in you is greater than he, Satan, who is in the world of sinful mankind. You have already overcome. You didn't have to meet that opposition and then work for it and labor against it to overcome it. You have already overcome the agents of the Antichrist. Stephen was right up against the agents of the Antichrist. The agents of the Antichrist are anyone who think, speak, or preach anything contrary to the truth of Scripture of who Jesus Christ is. So they had an issue with Stephen. But he was living out 1 John 4:4, understanding that no matter what they brought against him, he had already overcome it. And then this in-between that we're not looking at today, this in-between is him saying, ooh, I got an opportunity here. I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach to these people. I'm going to preach to them. And what did that do when he invoked the name of Jesus Christ? It incited them. It angered them so badly. So let's find out. Let's just find out just how it worked out for Stephen. Because after it, everyone was converted. They made him the pastor. He later became the pope, and everything was just glorious. They had a potluck. It was awesome. But let's see what Scripture says. And this is Acts 7, 54 through 60. Now when they heard this accusation and understood its implication, when they heard Stephen testifying to Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the Son of God, they were cut to the heart. And they begin grinding their teeth. See, when we hear a testimony, when we read the Bible, we have the opportunity to respond in two different ways when we're cut to the heart. We can fall to our knees and we can repent. Or we can grind our teeth and get angry. They begin grinding their teeth in rage at him, Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit and led by him, gazed into heaven and saw the glory, the great splendor and majesty of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look up there. I see the heavens open up in welcome, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they shouted with loud voices and covered their ears and together rushed at him, considering him guilty of blasphemy. Then they drove him out of the city and began stoning him. And the witnesses placed their outer robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They continued stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive and accept and welcome my spirit. Then falling on his knees in worship, he cried out loudly, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Do not charge them. When he had said this, he fell asleep in death. We got our compassion principle worked in there, don't we? We have our boldness principle worked in there. It's all building on each other. See, it's cited. Man, they didn't want to hear this Jesus stuff because it cut quick. Man, it showed them their sin. And so easily, they could have surrendered and said, I want to know more about this Jesus in whom you speak. But instead, they allowed their rage to take over. And though this account of the first martyr is found in the book of Acts, there have been countless since. You realize today, this morning, around the world, I can confidently say there were martyrs today with their life. They gave up their life in pursuit of Jesus Christ. They stood boldly in their faith, even unto death. Does the heavens open up and do we see that every time? I don't know. I haven't been in that situation. But I know when they get up there, the words that they're hearing is, well done, good and faithful servant. You stood with boldness in the face of hate and anger and chaos. Principle number 6, faith worth believing is a faith worth standing for. Will you have the opportunity to die a martyr's death? God only knows. Will you have the opportunity to be jailed for your faith? As the days go by, I feel like this one's becoming a deeper reality for me, because I'm not changing the way I preach. Will you have the opportunity to be shunned by your family because you choose to believe? Will you have that great opportunity? Will you allow that opportunity that God's placing at your feet to be shunned by your own family because you are standing in boldness and choose to believe in Jesus Christ? Will you have the opportunity to be fired from your job because you publicly profess Christ? Again, it's becoming more and more of a reality, isn't it? Will you have that opportunity? And how will you meet that opportunity? We have the opportunity to be ridiculed, belittled, spit upon by the public because you choose God's way. We have that opportunity. Step outside the property of this church. That opportunity abounds. It abounds. Take a walk in our lovely downtown area. Who is so ridiculously perverted by sin and unrighteousness. Just take a trip down there. Wear your Christian shirt and share your testimony and just see what happens. It's a great opportunity. It's not opportunities that we should run from. It's opportunities that we should run toward. Now, we don't incite, right? But we stand upon the truth of Jesus, his understanding that he came to divide. He's dividing. Our job is to try to pull everybody over onto our side and say, you need Jesus. Worship team, if you guys can quietly come up here. Faith worth believing is faith worth standing for. Only you can choose how you will face these opportunities when they arise in your life. The important part is to determine now how you will face these opportunities. What you cannot do this morning is plead ignorance in light of this principle and these scriptures. The truth is out there. The scriptures have been spoken. And now you have to respond. This isn't one of those mornings where it's like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. You have to respond. What will you choose this morning? Turn those lights all the way down. By not being able to plead ignorance, that means by not professing your faith in Jesus Christ this morning, you are by default doing the opposite. I'm going to say it hard. I'm going to say it truthfully. So this morning, within that opportunity, we're going to sing again. I'm opening up this altar. And once again, I don't want you to think, oh, he just wants everybody at the altar. But I want everybody at the altar. I want everybody at the altar professing their steadfast faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never been to the altar before. Maybe it freaks you out a little bit. Maybe that's part of the boldness that the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. So we're doing back-to-back songs, so get comfortable. We've got two songs to do. Get comfortable at the altar. Let's come up. Let's love on each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's make a decision for Christ. Let's re-decide. Let's reaffirm our faith in Christ. Let's just come up and shout it out. I am faithful to you, Lord Jesus. Nothing in my life will separate me from you. When those opportunities come, even unto death, I resolve within my faith in Jesus Christ this morning that I will be faithful to you. Father, help us to stand in boldness. Help us to have that confidence. Help us to have that desire that nothing comes between you and me. Help me to understand that the standards of this world are not your standards, therefore they are not my standards. I don't need to fight against those standards. I just need to live your standards. So, Lord, with boldness and courage, let us worship together. Thank you.
pastor was talking, just the Holy Spirit just came over me like I'd never even felt it before. And I got a word in tongues. I don't have an interpretation, and I just asked if it was okay to say it. And maybe somebody here, maybe will be open enough to the Holy Spirit to get the interpretation, and please have the boldness to come up here and interpret if you get it. But I'm just going to go ahead and do that right now before we get started. And I'm going to pray, because Lord Jesus, I want to be obedient to you in what you have to say. And I'm going to trust you in faith. I've never done this before. But I'm going to trust you in faith that either somebody today will get the interpretation, or maybe they can just hold on to what is about to be said, and maybe they can be individually revealed to what it means. Or I don't know what you're going to do with this, but I just felt the need to be obedient in doing this. And whether it's normal or not here, I don't know. But Spirit, lead me, right? And we are talking about boldness today. So I am bold in doing this morning. So Lord Jesus, let me know where I stop and you begin. I want these to be your words, not mine. And I want them to be true and true to you, and whatever it may mean. And Lord, just openness to interpretation. And Lord, let me know when to stop. In Jesus' name, because in my own house, I don't stop. So Lord Jesus, I ask for your guidance, and as I be obedient to you in faith. Yetushana, preholi, kurubata satehe, ushinana patahe dus, pronasatehe, brotakatesini, yadushmadakanisi. Robatasa de Hudafere Ishnuna Kabotanos in the Hayata Dokosati Itu Nana Take Hedush Badago Robotosati Robanata Hesu Kadare He Nonata Hesi. Thank you, Lord, for whatever that may mean, and we just receive it, whatever it may mean. And thank you, Lord, for just being with us and being here in spirit today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the interpretation will come, whether it's later or now or individually, or if we just soak it in and it just is. Lord, we bless you. In Jesus' name, you are blessed. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world. And thank you, God, that you are seated up on high in glory.
And I say unto you, do not be ashamed, do not be afraid of that which I have called you to do. I say unto you, open your mouths, speak, and I will fill it. I say, my heart is given to you. My life has been given to you, that you might stand forth and walk in the power of my name. For I have sealed you with the seal of the Holy Spirit. I have given you my name, who is sealed upon your hearts and minds. Speak and live according to my commandments, and I will guide you in your footsteps. And I say, do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will carry you, says the Spirit of the Lord.
News. He is here with us today. That was meant for us. That was a now word. Oh, we praise your name, Lord.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.